Welcome to Scaling the Gap, the podcast for leaders who refuse to settle. I'm Madeline McRae, CEO and co-founder of ProQ. Here, we cut through the noise to tackle the real challenges of scaling your business while staying true to your purpose. Every episode brings candid conversations, proven strategies, and the kind of insights that don't just inform, they ignite action. If you're ready to stop talking about impact and start making it, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Scaling the Gap. My guest for you today brings such passion for something really, really unexpected to the table. I think you are going to so enjoy hearing his story and his passion for helping homeowners and commercial companies and so many other different dynamics within his community. And I think we're just going to have a fantastic conversation today. Bruce Kozak, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure. So Bruce is a first-time podcaster, so kind to him. I think he's going to rock the mic today. No worries. We're going to have such a good time. So in order to get us started, Bruce, why don't you share with our audience a little bit about who you are and the work you do in this world?
Okay. Well, my wife and I started this business 9 years ago. Her name is Loy, and popped out of a franchise magazine. Something that I was getting kind of discouraged before that, just to, you know, kind of go over that a little more quickly here, in the corporate world and the steel industry. So we're thriving pretty well up until about 2002. And then a lot of the capital projects were occurring overseas and we took a big hit.
We
were designing and installing equipment. It was really hard to find a sale. And then I was part of a downsizing in 2000. Really, like, you got to be kidding me. You
know? Yeah.
And it made sense because of figures were just plump.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
So, thinking was appealed to me anyway, like running my.
Yeah.
Okay. Something that I need to seriously look at. So I looked at various franchise. And there was always a thing that didn't quite fit with me. There was some brick and mortar involved that, you know, I didn't want to get into a bunch of debt. You know, another problem that I saw was, you know, just to really hire the right people. You know, that goes without saying anywhere. But the thing my wife and I were doing was, and she works for a home builder, by the way. Home builder. So she knows a lot about building homes. I mean, builds them from the ground up. And so we got into some rental properties. You could buy rental properties in Pittsburgh back then fairly cheaply.
Yeah.
Mostly a buy and hold strategy. It's so that we kind of understood the process of cleaning out junk and debris and all that, and kind of getting it ready for carpet and painting and that type of thing. We were with a couple of dumpster service providers, and I thought, well, this is interesting. You know, when I called them, there wasn't really that sort of customer. Like, yeah, what do you want? You know,
sure. More of like a junkyard attitude, right? Like, take it or leave it. This is what we have for you, period. Right?
That's exactly right. And you knew that they were catering to a much, you know, more commercial,
sure,
basic customers. It had a scratch on the driveway. So then I reflected back on that, you know, when I was fast forwarding here now to Qual, paid off for something that kind of tied into some experience and not having any preconceived idea about, you know, there's a dumpster service provider out there.
Sure.
Want to get into something that just wasn't in my wheelhouse, you know?
Yeah.
Serving food or something like that.
Right.
So it to be industrial, but somewhat in. And then I was reading 500, I think it is, just popped out. It's like I saw this. I said, that's it. That's it. You know, and this process went on for 6 months.
You
know, can't do that one. You know, and I came pretty close to a couple. And then I pulled out, you know, and I thought, well, geez, you know, I was getting kind of discouraged.
Sure.
All this take much for Loy and I to decide that this was going to be the right fit.
That's awesome. And the name of the company, for those of you who are listening on the airwaves and not seeing the shirt, is Been There, Dump That. Like, which is a pretty cool name. In the green room, Bruce and I were chatting about how sometimes people come to you just for the name. So who do you actually serve? Because you have this experience of dumpster services that are way leaning into industrial, really more for commercial big projects. But you were looking for something that was maybe a little bit more consumer friendly, something maybe for those flippers, something for a little different. So who is your demographic? Who do you serve?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, we really know our customers well.
And I love that.
You know, this is the other thing, you know, we did, and we researched, you know, to see whether or not this made sense. Pittsburgh area, you know, and now we're in Northeast Ohio, Southwest PA, Panhandle, West Virginia. So, base tended to service to people who didn't necessarily want to hire a hauler.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not always conducive. I mean, for some people who can't load the dumpster themselves, you know, that may make more sense to them. So, you know, for many of them, they need to be home.
It's okay. Wisdom.
one of the first albums I had when I was a kid was Easy Rider and a woman and two others. And I kept them with my mother. All her come in.
And oh, no.
That pile. Not about because she told me, she says, oh, you know, well, I'm pretty sure you didn't want those albums anymore.
Oh, no.
And I said, well, you know.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so she said, oh, I'm so sorry. Let me call him. And she did. And she got almost all of them back minus two. It's directly.
Yeah.
Process. So the other thing, too, is cleaning out or doing a remodel. It is a process, you know.
Yeah.
Items, you know, what we always tell our customers is create files. This is going for sure. This is stay. And then there's that one in the middle.
What if? Right. Yeah. We're not quite sure yet, Pile. Yep.
Exactly right. You know, and then test people 7 to 10 days, actually up to 14 days if they're commercial.
Mm.
Get aligned to that.
Yeah.
And so Been There, Dump That specialized void, you know, for the other reasons that I mentioned about not having residential friendly approach. There was no driveway protection boards put down with the
sure.
order. The pricing was not all inclusive. So is really opened up things for Been There, Dump That.
Yeah. And
things really took off. I mean, we're part of a franchise that started in locations now. I mean, in
awesome.
Trying to be conducive for a driveway, we have the smallest footprint. Doors at the back are drivers, delivery experts, because in bins in places that
never been. I didn't think we can get really, really cute. I really love it. So, one of the things also that you were sharing with me is how you're dealing with consumers who are decluttering and they get in getting their bin. So why is that sense of relief started when that bin gets delivered to?
Yeah, I love that question. I think as we're doing this, I think reviews you'll see 4.9 and 5.0, a lot to do with forward, turning really realize all that clutter that they had is kind of their attention.
Oh,
that, and then that feeling of stress is like having a really messy desk, you know, and so to hear that, oh, everything went perfectly. Thank you so much. You know,
yeah,
I didn't realize it was going to be this easy.
Right. A psychological impact of clutter, competing for your attention with humans, right? Or with important activities that you need to do. And one of the things that served in my own space is that, you know, items have their own, like, vibration. They take energy, right? They're taking up literal space in your home. And the more items you have that don't fit who you are and where you are anymore, the less and less at home you feel in your home.
That's a really good point. You know, and I've listened to some of these wealthy people talk up on social media about how they become, well, you take Warren Buffett, for example.
Sure.
in the same house, you know, for
right. 50s,
I think. That comes with age a little bit. So a movement that's been going on now for probably the last 10 years about pain and just minimalism.
Sure.
That you get from that. In that area, too, we've seen there's been a renaissance in the heavy industry. On the industrial side, like with the steel industry or the aluminum industry, whatever, you know, you see practices now on Lean Six Sigma. And so as human beings, when we're doing things, you know, whether it's getting a phone number to somebody two or three times.
Yeah.
We want our efforts to have some value, some progress, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so adding any value. I mean, you can look at it and you can say, okay, I get some joy out of knowing that I own that, but that's very short-lived.
Right.
It's some of the things that some of these billionaires talk about. I mean, those items are very short-lived. You know, in what you do, you know, it really stems into getting, doing this and seeing people.
I love it. Well, it's so clear that you have a deep passion for your product, for your service, for the good it does. And you can see this layered effect of observing that people feel crowded by clutter, that they feel intimidated by the process of cleaning out, and that you're been there, done that, delivery of these bins, making the process easy, making it consumer friendly, even giving them tips on how to optimize their clean out, really allows this to the intimidation factor and make people willing to take that step forward that ends up with them having a happier home, happier life, happier, you know, business, whatever it is coming to you for. So that's really, really cool. I love that so much. Transition a little bit to your business journey, right? Because this hasn't been something you mentioned, you've been doing this for 10 years and you've been expanding your footprint, serving more people. So I would love to know, with your business journey, what was one of the unexpected joys of building this business?
I would say the energy that I draw and my wife draws.
Mm-hmm.
So this to which required to take things in terms of really understanding and looking for a solution, not just an idea,
yeah,
but
yeah,
a solution, you know,
yeah,
when problems, you know, and do helping people with their life-changing events.
Yeah.
Joy out of that.
Yeah.
And so with the staff, you know, the staff, when we follow him, but listen, you know, I heard him say this, you know, well enough so they can leave, treat them well enough so that they don't want to.
I love that.
So everybody is in the concepts.
Mm-hmm.
They're really appreciative of that.
Yeah, that's that heart of continuous learning and making sure that you're in service, not just of your customer, but in service of your team. Right. So I always teach our clients that as you build your business, first, of course, you have to get your customer base steady. You have to know how to attract leads, convert sales, all of those things. Yes. Okay. But when you're building something more substantial, your personal customer number one needs to be your team. Right. Because when you care for your team and for those values and they live and breathe the same water that you're living and breathing and air and all that, then they will transmit it down. Right? You talked about how your delivery experts, right? They're always friendly. They're always kind. Like, they understand take care. They're going to find that place where no bin has ever been before. And they're going to make it easy and all of those things. And that comes from you making them first, right? And it sounds like that philosophy really is a heartbeat of how you build out your team.
So idea there, well, the joy that we get executing all of this is tip to the people involved, whether it's the office. It's a process, you know,
because
what we learned was different perspectives. They have different judgments.
Sure.
Different ways of looking at things. So it's important to understand that because we can embrace that and we can find ways for people to be the best that they can be. And absolutely, it does transcend. Whatever you want to say, exponentially, geometrically, whatever.
Sure.
Drivers pick up on it. They pick up on the staff and how they handle situations and right. customers pick up on it. And it's very synergistic.
Mm.
The other thing from like one of the unexpected delights was yeah. just her positivity.
And
we could be, it's raining or we could be planting crops. It just depends on how you.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
Absolutely. You know, and the other thing I'll say relative to the staff, looking for a way to kind of these basic principles.
Yeah.
Want to be led astray, like, okay, I'm looking for somebody who knows about time management and is accountable and all that kind of stuff. The day it comes down to something my wife told me before we married. She said she wanted somebody, there was respect, trust, and honesty there. Mm-hmm. So those became the three pillars of the way we operate. That's it. So pinnacle of that, we actually have a triangle with that.
Mm-hmm.
Trust and then respect. So if we're not doing that with our employees, we're not going to reciprocally get that back.
Yeah, that's right. Your team always mirrors you. They're going to bring what you bring. Actually highlight some of the places where you have rough edges that you might too, right? Like, I love that. Setting the tone, living that. And it's really cool that you and your wife are doing this as a unit and that you values that you hold in your marriage, you actually bring to the business and you live it in multiple dimensions. It must make that culture really magnetic, right? Because areas of alignment that there are inside of a business, inside of an organization, the more mass it holds and the more mass something holds, the more gravity, right? So things get drawn to it. That's really cool. Love that. Love that.
Yeah, because you know the other thing too is there's a lot of noise when somebody is newer. They don't quite know the signal. Really important to know. And then able to get together after a number of years and really kind of understand that, okay, we can tie in from some of our background, but a lot of it is learning by doing. But it's so nice when you've settled in on, if you will.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, with all those exciting learnings and openings and building of the culture and the finding joy in the human dynamic, whether it's with team members or even with your customers, I'm curious. Now we got to talk to the dark side a little bit. What was one of the unexpected struggles? What was incredibly hard that you did not anticipate being hard in the build out of the business?
Well, kind of going back to what I was saying a little bit earlier about not being clear. It's easy to say, yes, I'm aware of that, but you can get caught up in not seeing this, the way I do. And you have to accept that. There's always going to be some in there for people who will fit in with your culture to be more aligned, attitude, and motivated to be part of the team.
Yeah.
And turnovers, and I mean, I respect the differences are going to happen. Painful. I'm with drivers, a lot of things. We didn't know how to screen for all that, we're much better at it. So those are the types of things that were unexpected and definitely painful.
Yeah, really painful. Changeover can be really, really hard, especially when you think you have it right and then you don't. Right. So it's that people show you who they are. You have to believe them. And we're holding this picture of who we think they are, but then their actions don't match. And we're trying to make sense of the disconnect. And we have to just accept, what they're showing me who they are. Trust that this is who they are. They're not a fit here. Right. I always give my clients the advice or all of our clients that hiring is an iterative process. Right. At first, you're going to be bad at it. Right. You never did it before. The best practice, but you yourself have to ask the questions, have to look for what you call those key signals early on to identify where is that most important trait lived, right? And you talked about how always have the same perspective as you, right? They're looking at the same thing, but way over at this angle, and they see it wildly different than you do. And getting someone to move all the way to your perspective is super challenging and takes a long time, but giving them a new lens, giving them a new frame, showing them how to look at what they're looking or how to interpret what they're seeing, that takes skill and finesse, right? And they have to be willingness to have their eyesight adjusted a little bit or else it's never going to go forward, right? That's that fundamental core components have to be aligned.
When we went through training with the home office, they said, understand that your customers will not be thinking what you are.
Yes.
This was very important. This was very eye-opening because
yes,
our value proposition was based upon X, and then you find out it's Y or Z, you know?
Right.
So we have to know our audience. We know our audience. Cater to those needs. Essential. And I think being able to pivot like that is essential in any business.
Right.
Going to adapt.
That's right, for sure, right? Agility is one of those very under-discussed component parts of building a business because you're going to be confronted. We tell people that, you know, the enemy doesn't care about your plan, right? And the enemy is just real life. Life encounters your plan. They don't care about your plan. So you have to adapt and adjust so that you can still fulfill the plan through the barriers of real life, right? It's kind of a funny thing that real life is actually where the action happens and where the deflection happens at the same time. Both are true. Both are true.
Well, the other thing is that so much learning.
Yes.
From the mistakes.
Yes.
I guess be another the things that have happened is that finding out that not the way it is, you know,
yeah.
Because now we feel, you know, much more empowered and smarter. So
sure. Yeah. Yeah. You can take that progressive attitude towards failure, right? You stumbled a bit, but you didn't actually fail. You learned. Best way to learn is by stumbling a bit.
So encouraging when you're calling, you know, years ago, discouraging because the percentages of are ready to order, it's just right away. Relationships. You have to work on that. So process of reframe it as ways of points that need to be populated.
Mm-hmm.
A customer maybe who's having a bad day or whatever. No, like it was all the time we run statistics and we know that many months or whatever, we're gonna have kind of, you know, we're not perfect. Perfection, but we're not perfect. Process. Series of metrics that you can write down and say, well, at least I'm making traction here.
Yeah, for sure. And it's also really helpful to know that, you know, once every X number of months, we're going to have a profoundly unsatisfied customer, right? Like, and it's just normal. It's just part of the process. So you don't overly weight that one outlying, that consistent, persistent outlier, right? So you have majority of happy clients, majority of people, you said 4.8 to 5.0 on those stars. I mean, I heard you say it, like that's pretty hard to maintain that kind of a rating. And then you're going to have people who you just can't make all the people happy all the time, right? So it's really helpful to know that this is just part of the process. Don't overly yourself emotionally as a team member when you're the one that has to deal with that person who's just going to happen every once in a while.
0.9 to 5.0.
Ooh, look at that. Even better. Even better. I robbed a tenth of a point.
To what you were saying, I love that point you made because saying about percent of dealing can take up 80% of your time.
Sure. Yep.
And we see those statistics, you know, meaning that we can get where now we're compromising execution and continuity in the business in other areas. So we look to resolve those fairly quickly because we know that needs, you know.
Right, that's right.
Much more energy in that area, diminishing returns.
That's exactly right. Oh, learning that lesson of respect, trust, and honesty when you and your wife were deciding to couple and move forward. I remember my first boyfriends taught me, do you want to win or do you want to be right? Right? Do you want to win this fight or is being right? Like, what's super important to you here? Do you want to get what you want or do you want to win? And it's compatible, right? And when you have someone who's irate, who you did stumble with, win, right? So you can be right as much as you want, but you're going to lose in the long term because they just want to win, right? So it's that idea of like, you can do the right thing and still the other person wants to win worth the time.
So true. And I don't know where I heard this from, but it resonated that of discussions that misalignment.
Sure.
Because people will bring depth to that discussion that they're looking to defend.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've had this discussion in our office and really all come together at a point where, yes, we want to be prepared for the conversation.
Sure.
Ton, you rob yourself of the ability to perspectives, things from all angles, if you just go in there with a blank slate and just deal with it in real time.
Right. All right. Well, this has been so fun. So many cool threads that we've woven together, from the psychological impact of clutter to people's emotional needs, feeling upset about something, to what does it take to build a great team, those iterative moments of building, all the joy in assembling this incredibly aligned, you know, respect, trust, honesty forward culture and team, all with a heart of service towards individuals who are looking to enhance their lives and through something as humble as Hall and Junk, right? Hall and Crash and their remodel, you know, all the different components. And I love that you can find such nobility in the service of something that other people would look at as lowly, right? That to me has just been such a pondering that the whole time you've been talking, like the nobility of building a business, of building a team, of being in deep service of something that other people would discard, right? And I just think that that's really powerful. And I wanted to draw attention to that for those listening at home, right? Because it doesn't matter what you're doing. It's who you're doing it for, how you're doing it, how you're building your business. All these component parts can take something that would otherwise be a throwaway. All these puns are just right here. I cannot help myself. So beautiful to elevate it. Impressed by the level of elevation that you have brought in your business to something that would be considered so humble.
And that we found that was really cool. So people are having life-changing events.
Yeah.
Much with a remodel, but that's a lot of times somebody's passed away or somebody else.
Right.
So that whole process has been kind of overlooked as a, we can facilitate it and make it
right.
Smooth line, as streamlined, just makes it that much effective for the customers.
Sure, you know, sure.
Because if they have a problem with the execution of the service, when they're going through all these, just throw fuel on the fire.
You're interacting with someone in a really potentially low moment, difficult moment, hard moment, and you're it quality of what you bring to the table. It's beautiful. I love it. All right, Bruce. Well, this has been so fun. But for those of you who are listening at home, you know I have one last question I always ask. So with all the highs and all the lows, with everything that you've been able to build over this last decade and fueling from your career and success from the past, I'm curious if you now today consider yourself to be successful.
People have different definitions of that.
Yes.
And the people to certain things.
Yes.
More about what we get from what we're doing and also having some free time to spend with family. Future. This is the other thing that this time for us. That would be the other thing I would say. The delight. Doing that is a very successful system, and it's going to be around for a long time. Eventually, proof.
Mm-hmm.
People go through those life-changing events, you know, like in 2008 with the real estate downturn. I mean, a lot of people were losing their homes. And COVID, we actually had more cleanouts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So things that we reflect on that. And then the other thing I'll say is that just the personal growth, you know, I don't know what the right term is, you know, self-actualization or whatever, testing yourself, realizing your limitations, working on that, you know, whether it's self-awareness or whether it's wordsmith things when you're talking to other people, you know, empowering to feel I'm making progress in those areas. So to me, yes.
Love it. Reasons that I ask this question is because this is my favorite question of all, because every single individual brings a unique expression of what success looks like to them, to the table, every single time. And, you know, I've asked it hundreds of times, and you mentioned in the beginning, well, it's not about material things. And so many people judge success on those externals. And I would even say that before people have become successful, they judge success on money, right? And it is shocking to me how almost never money features, right? Almost never, because the people I show are already successful, right? And I ask the question because it brings out a dynamic of what is truly important. And each person has different pieces that they will pull and highlight as profoundly important to them, to themselves, to what they're contributing, to what they're building. Listen really carefully while we're chatting, right? And also to what the answer to that question is, because I backwards engineer this success algorithm, which is personal to Bruce, right? So this is Bruce's own success algorithm. Now, sometimes I nail it right out of the box, and sometimes we have to finesse it and chat about it a little bit. So let me read back to you what I say and see if we nailed it. Your personal success algorithm looks like. So for Bruce, success equals the joy in the work, robust family relationships, plus time freedom, secure future, viable, enduring business model, capacity to grow, become the best, most empowered version.
That?
Growing part and the becoming, right? Because the joy is in not just who we are today, but in who we get to become through the process. Anchored in the very first thing was the joy for them.
I heard a quote from somebody say, it's not about finding yourself, it's about being yourself.
Yeah.
That, to me, was very powerful because secret sauce, in a way, you know, to be successful. I don't think, I listen to a lot of them out there, a lot of these stories. They don't know how to connect with people. They don't know how to do things in a very positive way. I mean, a lot of things in... It's not, you know, it's not helping the solution. You know, a lot of it comes down to asking questions all the time. It takes some effort.
It does.
You know, for me, I came from a pattern of thinking to occur for myself. And, you know, you end up kind of clutching onto that, you know.
Sure.
You know, it wasn't really dealing with the public.
Yeah.
It took some reminders for myself.
Yeah.
Yep. Just kind of make sure that, you know, this is coming out the right way. So constant asking the question to the business and to the customer's needs.
Yeah, I love it. It's so really exciting to me to talk to the high-powered, successful performers who consistently come back to who I need to become, build in order to grow this company that I envision, right? And it's really that your willingness to embrace the discomfort of growth, right? Because asking yourself that question every day means you got to tweak a lot. It means sometimes the answer to that question is, nope, I'm going out it all wrong, right? So those questions, it sounds subtle, but it is not subtle. It can be very confronting to have to be the one to adjust, right? To have to be the one to say, I need to sharpen my harsh edges, or I need to shift my approach. And it's one of those secrets of the most successful, that the self-leadership, internal capacity to know your gifts, to know weakness, to know where you stumble, and to be willing to boldly address both is what really catalyzes that momentum into the next stage of growth. Unsung part of the journey, and it's to me one of the most delightful parts, because in doing it for yourself, you're also modeling for your people what's possible for them.
Well said.
Yeah. Well, Bruce, I can't thank you enough for being my guest today. You did a fantastic job, right, guys? He did a great job as first time podcaster. We love it. So I just wanted to wrap up here with a couple quick little reminders that consider where, I'm going to use something from Bruce's business in your own life. Where in your work, where in your life, where in what you're building, are you able to encounter people turning a new leaf? Where they are decluttering their heart, their mind, their selves, or their spaces to be able to become more of who they are. As a leader, As a bold, bright, ambitious business builder, you have the capacity to shape people's experience so profoundly. And I want you to really think about what values are you consistently bringing to the table through your example, through what you talk about, through how you lead your business that allow other people to be catalyzed to grow and to consistently become the best version of themselves. Because if you can do that around yourself, you're going to be an ultimate maximizer, and you're going to find that your business, like Bruce's, is magnetic not only to the right team members, but to the right customers too. So consider that and tune in with us for the next episode next week. Bruce, in the meantime, if people want to get in touch with you, where can they find you?
BinThere.com, B-I-N, there, dub, that, dot com.
Love it. All right. Well, my friends, until next time, make it a powerful, powerful day.
Thanks for tuning in to Scaling the Gap. If today's episode inspired you or sparked an idea, I'd love to hear about it. If you're an ambitious leader with a story to share, visit proqsystems.com, click on Media and Events, then select Podcast to apply to be our guest. We'd love to spotlight your journey. Also, don't forget to follow the show and leave us a review to help bring more transformative insights to leaders just like you. You can also connect with me, Madeline McCray, on LinkedIn for more conversations, access to our exclusive tools and resources. Until next time, keep scaling your impact and building a legacy that matters.